Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, where I am every Saturday morning from 9 to 10, and you can hear us from anywhere on 883WPPB.org. And this morning I say hello to one of golf's greatest ambassadors, Chip Beck. You do it all, my friend. Welcome to Sports Interview.
I am so thrilled to be on your show, Ann. I always love your show. God bless you.
Oh, I love it. I caught up with you at the PGA show, and you just have so much energy. Four titles on the PGA Tour, three Ryder Cup teams, part of that exclusive group of golfers to shoot a 59, and you're going to be hosting a Ryder Cup Viking River Cruise in September. How much
Absolutely.
Fun.
Absolutely. It's only the second time it's been in Europe, you know, and what's fascinating about it is that the last time the Europeans, the Americans have actually won was in 1993 at the Belfry when I was on the team. That's how long ago. So we're the reigning champs from, you know, Hazeltine 2 years ago. But in France, it's going to be a special event. They built a golf course in the 90s, and it's targeted for here. And they're going to have 70,000 spectators or more. So it's going to be the European crowds go crazy.
And so it's
going to be maybe the greatest Ryder Cup in the history, because the president of France is going to be there. Macron's going to be there. They've got this young kid, Alexander Levy. It's going to be great. He just won in Morocco. So a lot of good things happening. I think people should come with us on the cruise. Premier does a great job.
Le Golf National, that's where the Ryder Cup will be outside of Paris. And I tell you, to combine seeing the Ryder Cup with this cruise, oh my goodness, Chip. I mean, you can't get better than that.
We're going to be going down the Seine River on a small riverboat. It only has about 200 people on it, and 200 rooms, rather. But it's like, it's not gonna, like you're going to get seasick or something like that. You're going to have sights, and it's going to be a beautiful go right down that river. I mean, I've never been down there, but we're going to Normandy after the Ryder Cup, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yes, I'm going to have Anne Mowbray on to talk a little bit about the itinerary after the Ryder Cup, but you know, the fact that it combines both, you know, an opportunity to see the golf, and you know, really when you talk about, you know, in international competitions in sport, there is nothing more exciting, in my opinion, than the Ryder Cup. Now, I've covered a number of Olympics, and I am a huge, you know, I love the Olympics, and I urge anyone who has the opportunity to go to see an Olympics to do it. But anybody who has an opportunity to go and watch a Ryder Cup, it has to be the most exciting sporting event on the planet, don't you think?
Without a doubt. And one of the reasons for that is the format. There are only 28 points in it. So, like, if the Americans win 14 points, we get a halve and we retain the cup. So 14 and a half strokes, it actually guarantees that the matches are always going to be close. And in Europe, the European fans are so knowledgeable about their golf. And, I mean, you know, France beat out Paris, you know, in Seve. Everybody wanted to go to Spain, you know, in honor of Seve passing. But France is so into it, the whole country wants it. So it's going to, like I said, I think it's going to be probably one of the greatest Ryder Cups ever.
It's going to be so cool. And as you say, they're very into it, very knowledgeable, and very enthusiastic about it. You've played on three Ryder Cup teams, Chip Beck. What are your top memories from your Ryder Cup playing days?
Well, I remember beating Ian Woosnam when he was the number one player in the world, which was kind of cool.
And who wouldn't remember that, right? Awesome.
And that, you know, in 1991, that was the first time the Ryder Cup actually made money. We made like $61 million, PGA of America. And it was the first time it was shown globally through Sky Sports and live in Europe, you know. So that was pretty cool. So that was when it all started. But now, boy, it's going to be with the new golf course, Le Golf National. There's a lot of risk reward shots. You can drive some of the par fours. There's water everywhere. It's really exciting. And like I said, I don't think there'll ever be one as exciting, because the course was built for this Ryder Cup, and it was built for, you know, the exciting finish. And it, you know, when you call 70,000 people it's going to be, and it's built like an amphitheater, you know, like the stadium concept, like at TPC.
Are you there? Can you hear us okay? Chip, he's on his cell phone, so we just lost the connection. Chip Beck, can you hear us?
Sorry.
Oh, there you are. Yeah, stay where you are because you're on a cell phone, so we don't want to lose you.
Yeah, I am.
There you are.
I'm actually at my son's graduation in Indiana.
Unbelievable that you would come on the show this morning and your son's graduating. Thank you. I really appreciate it. The Ryder Cup, the War on the Shore obviously put the Ryder Cup on the map, Chip. And you are a big part of that, as you talked about, that it was played in the aftermath of the Gulf War. You know, people were showing up in camouflage hats. There was so much spirit. And there was some tension, in, you know, between the – well, there's always tension at these Ryder Cups. But particularly then, you know, because a lot was going on. Do you remember that War on the Shore and the, all the tension that happened between, you know, the American team and the European team?
Yeah, one of the things that I thought was really fascinating, in my first Ryder Cup in 89 when Raymond Floyd was captain, I felt like, gosh, there's no way these guys can beat us because you know, you've got the Englishman not liking the Scotch guy and the Frenchman not liking the Italian. I mean, it seems like, wow. But then 91 came along and everybody loved to hate the American. So it like gelled their team against us. And especially when, you know, Payne Stewart came out with the camouflage hat and Dave Stockton, it was kind of just in fun. But boy, it gelled everybody to hate the Americans, and so therefore it's been a lot more difficult for the Americans to win. That's my opinion. But that's what's made it a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, and Bernard Langer, I remember you know, reading where Langer was saying that the European team was furious because the PGA showed highlights of the Ryder Cup before that you know, even started for previous Ryder Cups, and it was all American players. And Europe had won the last three Ryder Cups before the War on the Shore, and that Longo was furious that they didn't show any of the European players. Or, you get that kind of tension. That's what's so exciting about it. And, of course, at Hazeltine, you know, with the Americans, you know, winning, really dominating, and that match between Rory McIlroy and Patrick Reed, that singles match, have you ever seen anything? Well, you probably have. That was comparable to that.
Well, not really, and they're back on the team. You know, Reed's our number one choice right now, or on the points list, and McIlroy's right in there for the European team. So, yeah, they're going to be some great matches again. All the young kids are coming. You know, Ricky Fowler's be there, and you know, Tommy Fleetwood on the European side, and I think the Spaniard's going to be there. You know, Rafa Cabrera is going to be there.
John Rahm.
You've got some really exciting teams for the European and the American side. So one of the things that's so fascinating about Ryder Cup that you'll never see in any other format of golf or anywhere in golf is that, man, when a person misses the putt, if you're a European guy and an American misses, they go crazy. They yell and scream. They're so excited. So they really they have a good time with it, and you've never seen so many people dressing up like you'll see them in Europe. We saw a lot of that at Hazeltine, you know, where they started dressing in the European flag. It's just going to be probably, like I said, I don't think there'll be any sporting event like it in the world.
I agree with you. I mean, everybody you talk to, I was recently talking to Bubba Watson, and you know, he obviously he's playing well this season and obviously wants to make the Ryder Cup team as a player. But he said if he, for some reason, doesn't, he wants to, you know, he wants to be one of the vice captains. I mean, he wants to be there so badly, like he was at Hazeltine. He just literally, you know, will do anything to basically be a part of it, whether he's playing or whether he's one of the assistant captains. And he would eventually like to be a Ryder Cup captain. I would think most players would feel that would round out their career.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And the nice thing for Bubba, he's like in fifth place on the points list right now. He's going to make it. And, I don't know if you remember, but a couple of Ryder Cups ago, he was kept off the team because he had like an abrasive personality. And, you know, he's admitted, he said, hey, look, I got mental issues, but I'm afraid to take any kind of medication because I think it'll throw my game off. So, he's an exciting player because he does create a lot of controversy. And he's a Georgia guy, like I am. But, yeah, he's got a different style about him, and he will add a lot of flair. And he gets so excited about it. He's like a Patrick Reed. And he doesn't get upset when people are yelling and screaming at him. I think he enjoys it. So he'll excite that kind of riot against him. It'll be fun.
You know, it's great to see the intensity that comes out in these players. I mean, Patrick Reed, we saw it at Hazeltine. We saw it again when he won the Masters this year. The focus, the intensity that it takes, and particularly on this international stage with the Ryder Cup, and as you say, being the fact that it's going to be in Europe, it's going to be so intense from a fan perspective, and you know, European team's going to want to come after the Americans so hard because the Americans, you know, won at Hazeltine so decisively. So you have all the factors, Chip, back that's going to make it just more exciting than ever. For me to watch how these players on both teams handle the pressure, what was it like for you to play with all that pressure, you know, under the Ryder Cup microscope?
Well, what's fascinating about it in our time is that it was a real social event. I mean, they used to give our wives a budget for $10,000 just for clothing. And then, you know, when there was a black tie, there was a party every night. And so if you're a real social person, like my wife and I, well, we really enjoyed it. And for me personally, I have found it as much fun as anything I've ever done in golf. And, you know, at times you feel the pressure. There's no question. When Payne Stewart's hitting you on the back and saying, come on, Chip, you can win this match. Come on, you know. And you do feel the pressure that way. But I think it's just so much fun to have team support, which you've never had. And so for me personally, I love that. And I think relaxed more because, you know, when you're playing with a Fred Couples and Payne Stewart and Cal Kovecki and all these great players, it's like, wow, you know, I can I can play with them, but boy, that's a pretty good team. I don't know anybody can beat us, you know. So our team, Mickelson's on this team right now. He's in last spot, so yeah, he'll bring a lot of enthusiasm as well. He'll probably be a captain's pick if he doesn't get on it.
Oh, he'd have
Tiger and Stricker are going to be the vice captains. So, you know, it's really, like I said, the golf course is going to hold 70,000 people. And it's a stadium-style course like the TPC down in Florida. And so everybody's going to get a better view this time, probably better than any Ryder Cup in history. And that's going to be really significant.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to have that kind of crowd there watching, and if you're saying the views are going to be pretty spectacular, you know, because that way it gives you more reason to go and watch it live than to sit back and watch it on TV if you're
and
saying
Ann,
the amphitheater
right.
views are going to be perfect.
But also, Ann, you know, think about Paris. You've got Versailles. You've got all the great food. It's literally, you know, like 30 minutes from downtown Paris. I mean, it's a trip of a lifetime.
It is a trip of a lifetime.
I want to go to Paris. And that's how it all started, because she wanted to go to Paris. So, you know, I said, I'm in, because I love the golf and she loves all the activities. So we're taking our daughter over there to see a lot of the sights of Paris, you know, and all the great food. So
yeah,
it's a city that doesn't close down, you know.
Well, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, back when you were playing on the Ryder Cups, the, you know, the social aspect of it. And that's still the case. You know, how does a player deal with the balance of, you know, you want to take in that whole exciting environment, you want to do everything that, you know, that's part of Ryder Cup week as one of the participants, but then, you know, you need your rest, you need your focus. I mean, that's a very interesting balance, Chip Beck. How do the players deal with
it
that?
Is. Well, what's fascinating, like in my day, it seemed like everybody drank. I mean, Ian Woosdom was like the president of the World Snooker Federation, you know. And every time I saw him, he was loaded. I'm thinking, wow, how's he going to beat me, you know. But then the captain of, you know, like the last Ryder Cup, it was like, you know, there was only one guy that would drink. So it's like, it's really kind of interesting. You know, Curtis Strange was talking about it. The young kids today just don't drink like my crowd and before. So they're a little bit more geared to that now. As far as the parties and all, I think, you know, everybody still, it's nice to have, you know, joint parties with the European and American teams, because it does build a lot of camaraderie and a lot of fun. So, And it's like I've had friends tell me, Chip, I've been to every sporting event in the world, and nothing compares to the Ryder Cup. So
I agree. It's,
and in Paris, I look forward to seeing you there. I know we're going to have a good show on the cruise, and we're going to do a lot of nice things together over there. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've covered every Ryder Cup since Brookline. Jeez, that's a lot of Ryder Cups, and I wouldn't miss, you know, the Ryder Cup from a journalist and a golf correspondent perspective. But then, you know, as a fan as well, as you say, it's just something that you just have to do once in your lifetime, at least once in your lifetime. Chip, the U.S. Open.
I'm gonna bring my Ryder Cup trophy, so that'll make it even more exciting.
Oh, you are.
See the original.
I love
Cup. It. It's fun.
I love it. Well,
the U.S. Open.
The U.S. Open is literally so close to where I am broadcasting right now, here in Southampton at Shinnecock Hills. Just a spectacular golf course, and you have a lot of history there, a lot of memories there, having tied for second place with Lonnie Watkins in 1986. Raymond Floyd went on to win it. But what are your memories of that 1986 U.S. Open, Chip?
Well, I remember the golf course was so tough, hard and fast, and it was long for us back then. And even today, it's, you know, 7,400 yards. They've added some length to the off the tees, which is quite substantial there because, like, I played there in 86, and I'd hit 4-iron into the 18th green. But then I'd play, you know, 2 years ago, 3-4 years ago, and I would hit, like, 8-iron into the 18th green. But generally, at that where it is on Long Island, you get a lot of weather changes. And the golf course, it's almost like going to St. Andrews because it's going back in time. You got a traditional golf course that requires a lot of shot-making skill, a lot of strategy. And a lot of times I found myself hitting towards the middle of the greens and just trying to, you know, get the ball up and down, up and in. So it's one of the premier golf courses in the United States and in the world.
It really is. It really is. And as you say, it's going to play over 7,400 yards. That, you know, that par 5 16th, they moved the tees back 60 yards. That one hole, remember the par 5 16th? It's going to play over 600 yards, Chip.
Yeah, Raymond birdied that hole to actually beat me and take the lead.
Oh, so you do remember that hole.
Oh, I do remember.
And have you had a chance to come back and play it since?
I have. This lady's bothering me right now.
I don't know anybody to park right here. They wanted to leave an open aisle to go back and forth. They just made our
I'm parking at my son's graduation.
Right, and you're getting harassed by the parking lady. I love it.
Yeah,
well, Chip.
Yeah, it's really great. It's going to be wonderful.
I appreciate you coming on, Chip Beck. Enjoy your son's graduation. I can't wait to talk to you more about this cruise during the Ryder Cup. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And you're the best in the business, and I always like coming on your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking the time on this special day for your family to come on with us here at Sports Interview. Really appreciate
it. Yeah, I love Premier Golf, and I hope everybody will go to premiergolf.com and make it happen.
We'll see you there. Chip Beck. Have fun. Chip Beck coming on to talk about this incredible cruise. We're actually going to talk to Ann Mabry, the Managing Director of Premier Golf, in a moment. She'll get more into the details of this itinerary, but always great to catch up with Chip Beck, who was getting bounced out of the parking lot there in Indiana for his son's graduation. I hope he doesn't get a ticket. I'll feel responsible. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk a little bit more about this itinerary on the Viking River cruise during the Ryder Cup. But first, let me tell you about Sports Interview, brought to you by Peak Vision Sunglasses, zero distortion, patented dual zone lens technology. Learn more at peakvision.com.